Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Some time ago, the United Pentecostal Church International, the fellowship with which I'm ordained, gathered for its annual general conference, and it was one of the most anointed gatherings in my memory. On the opening night, we heard preaching by Anthony Mangan, a personal hero of mine. When I was just a teenager, God used his preaching to spare me from death. I was suffering from a terrible depression after the suicide of my father, and the preaching of Anthony Mangan brought light and rescue to my life. Last week, we brought you part one of his message from the opening night. Join us now as we air part two.
I sense destiny in my soul. I feel destiny in my soul. I don't have time, Brother Singleton. We don't have much longer. I feel, Brother Clifford, destiny in my soul. I know the rapture's about to take place, and I know what God is ready to do with the church that is called by his name. I got a phone call. I'd started all this stuff, and I got a phone call. And it was from the assistant district attorney. And he said, I got to have you. And so I said, I will be to your office. And so I went to our assistant district attorney. And he said, my wife is leaving me tonight. I said, well, that's what she said. Said, yes, yeah, she's already packing. Said, she'll have everything out by morning. And I said, well, why didn't you call me sooner? He said, well, I thought we could work it out. And they were members of another denomination there in the city. I said, will she talk to me? He called her and she said yes. So I met with him. I said, I'm going to ask you one thing, Susan. Before you make this major decision that's going to affect your children's life, will you allow me to teach you a Bible study? And she said yes. So I started a Bible study with the assistant district attorney of our parish. We're a little weird in Louisiana. We don't have counties, we have parishes. So I started that Bible study. And after about the fourth or fifth Bible study, they started asking questions, and they were attending our church, and they were sitting on the row beside Mother. Well, that'd change you right there. So instead of having Bible questions when we got to Bible study, I had Vesta questions. What makes her go? What makes her tick? How does she do that? How does she scream all during church all the time? But it wasn't long after that that they looked at me and said, we want to be baptized in Jesus' name. God, fill them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're now members of the POA. What's that? That's why we build bigger altars. When we get bigger altars, we can have a bigger revival. Something burning in my soul tonight that if we can get bigger altars, if we can have an altar call in Freedom Hall tonight, if we can have an altar call tonight, I feel like there's some missing in action coming home. I feel like there's some prodigal sons and daughters that's going to start walking down the aisle. You let me tell you something. I'm praying for our children. I'm praying for our families. I'm praying for God to bring her back home. And I believe we're getting ready to see a revival of the people coming back home to God. In the process of prioritizing ministry, and our young people's going to know it, and our POA kids are going to know it. We're getting ready to know how to pray. If we don't teach them nothing else, we're going to teach them the Word of God, and they're going to know how to pray. We've got to build bigger altars. We've got to get the altars built in our lives. We've got to get them built in our churches. We got to get the altars built. Why? Preaching at Mark, I was very honored. Brother Mooney asked me to preach there, and I mentioned this there. But in Mark Batterson's book, he says that 61%, this is all denominations. This is Pentecostals. This is everybody. He said 61% of college kids are walking away from all form of religion. God is calling us to teaching the Word of God in our homes, and He is asking us to build bigger altars. And we got to start it in our young. We got to start it in the POA kids. We can't let anything distract us. We've got to teach our Sunday school classes, Bible stories, but we got to teach them how to pray. We got to teach them how to fast. I mentioned this at Brother Mooney's, but I got so convicted because in our fast and manual time, during our 21-day fast, we put out, we know your kids, your grammar school kids that are in school, we know we don't want them fasting. You just let them fast a morning breakfast or fast milk or something. We don't want to, until our leaders of our POA group that goes and eats with our kids every Friday, they walked in during Ramadan, and those Muslim kids that's in the fifth and sixth grade, they're fasting from sun up to sundown. I look back at that church along with Pastor Terry. I said, if a Muslim child can fast from sun up to sundown, an apostolic child can fast from sun up to sundown. We can stay focused on what God's called us to do. It's what I loved of my dad. He said, I don't look to the right. I don't look at those that's going right, and I don't look at those that's going left. I've got my eyes focused on what God has called me to do. I'm building an altar in my life. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, it's my church. It is called my church, and it is built on the altar of prayer. Let's get together. Quote this with me. I think you'll know it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed. Thank you. Time out. Stop. He said, whatever is going on in heaven ought to be going down on earth. And let me advise you of something. When the rapture takes place, you won't be having to pray anymore. When the rapture takes place, there will be no more fast days. But with worship, that is one thing that never stops. So if that's what's going on in heaven, I'm going to build me an altar. And as Abraham said, I will worship. Me and the lad will go yonder and worship. I will go build me an altar. And instead of it's something I have to do, I will see it worship unto God. Jesus turned and he looked at them pouring out of that temple. He saw them in John 7. They were coming out. He didn't see them coming out of a bar. He didn't see them coming out of the house of prostitution. He didn't see them coming out of some house of ill repute. He saw them coming out of the synagogue. He saw them coming out of Louisville General Conference, let's have church. And he looked at them and said, I've got a word for you. And he said, Jesus began to cry, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And in my room today, I pray for everything in this room to get a new baptism of the Holy Ghost, that out of our innermost being will begin to flow rivers. In that upper room, they built that altar of prayer. And suddenly there came that sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Acts chapter 2, is the church. It's the hope for the world. Acts chapter 2. I want to pause here. I am now considered, I guess, a little more elder than I used to be. I was a young man until Brother Urshan died. And then after Brother Urshan died, I at least started growing up a little bit. Brother Urshan would always call us young men. But I guess at 62 and with all the great men of God falling off of the scene, that maybe my generation is moving to the eldership. So let me say to the younger ministers that are listening to me tonight, I'm not talking about those that don't know where you are doctrinally. I don't even want to discuss that. I'm not talking to those of you that are having problems with the separation issue. I'm not discussing you right now. The ones I'm talking to is those that believe in Acts 2:38. And the ones that I am talking to believe in a separation. But there is among our younger ministers that you are great men of God. And you're not the ones that's battling. We're not the ones battling for truth. You're not the emergers. But there is a problem that I want to talk to you about. And counseling around these round tables, it's in Acts chapter 2. They preach Jesus before they preach Acts 2:38. And I want to tell you, young men, you are exactly right. They preach Jesus before they preach Acts 2:38. But the other day, God gave me a revelation. Let me give you the whole chapter. Before they preach Jesus, they had had a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. The first question in Acts chapter 2 wasn't what must we do. The first question was, what meaneth this? And then he preached Jesus. If we can get to heaven of what meaneth this, then when we preach Jesus. We need a demonstration in our churches. We need the Holy Ghost demonstration. We need people drunk on the Holy Ghost. We need people led by the Holy Ghost. We need people spirit-led and spirit-filled with the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. Revelation 22 and 1. Now that was free, guys, and I'm for preaching Jesus. I think Jesus ought to be preached harder. And I do think that sometimes we rush to Acts 2:38 before we preach Jesus. And we do need to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we do need to understand that repentance is just as much of the death, burial, resurrection as the Holy Ghost and baptism in Jesus' name. So having made everybody happy with that statement, let me still come back and tell you, it began with the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said in Revelation 22 and 1, He showed me the new paradise and its river of the water of life. It was a pure, clear, crystal river. The Lamb for sinners slain. I would like to jump very quickly to Ezekiel chapter 47. In Ezekiel chapter 47, remember He's already prophesied. Remember dead bones have already come together. Remember He's already prophesied to the winds. And we get to Ezekiel 47. And Ezekiel tells us of his prophetic vision of a sacred river like Revelation 22. He said His holy waters of life. He said, notice, He said they issued out from under the temple altar on which the sacrifices were offered daily in the morning and in the evening. Notice where those rivers came from. They came from out from under the altar where sacrifices were being made. Understand that the temple doors were shut up. Understand that the temple doors were closed. But when that rival began at an altar when that revival began with me getting on top of it and living a crucified life to Christ, those holy waters of life that issued out from under that altar, they belonged to the whole world, and nothing could stop it, and nothing could shut it up. The temple couldn't hold it. It flowed eastward and defended as it flowed. It irrigated and vitalized whatever was dead in that land. This pure, sacred river whose holy waters of life issued out from under the altar on which the sacrifices were offered. It's as important. It flowed through the dry ravines. It went through that eastern wilderness of Israel until finally it reaches the Dead Sea. I'm going to get very transparent. And if I'm wrong, I am submitted to you because you're the head of this whole thing. And I promise you, I don't say this to be humble. I will shut up if you tell me. But I'm going to tell you, if all of y'all have been facing what Mickey and I have been facing, I'm talking about everything from church to things that we've dealt with to things that we're up against. You come on here and say, well, I'm doing fine, man. God's great. God's wonderful. I'm going to tell you, I don't know anybody right now. This isn't a cuss word, but I'm going to say it anyway. That's not going through hell on earth. There ain't a family that's not feeling something. I mean, everybody's feeling the pressure of the day. Everybody's got something coming against them. Everybody is feeling it. We've got preachers that are depressed. We've got preachers' wives that are lonely. Sit there and look at me, and you don't have to say amen. I don't want you to say amen right now, but I know what I'm talking about because God's given me the privilege to have some of your confidence. And I know, even with my friends and the discussion we have, and that Bible says that Paul became weary with the work of the saints and with the work of the church. And I know in this room there's some dead marriages. I know in this room there are some dead churches. I know in this room there are some dead ministries. I know some of you came to this conference and said, I gotta have a word or I'm ready to give up. Well, I got a word for you. There's a river that's flowing right now. There's a river that's in this place right now. There's a river. It's moving. It's flowing. And the Bible said it went from the ankle to the knee, and it touched that old Dead Sea where there's nothing. There's nothing living inside that Dead Sea. Yet the Bible said when that river got to that Dead Sea, everything in that sea began to live, and the fishermen began to catch fish. He said, you follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. God's getting ready to touch our churches, and we're getting ready to fish like we had never fished. We're getting ready to have revival. Everything, everything, everybody say everything, shall live. Except verse 11. If you don't mind, would you throw Ezekiel verse 11? And I would like for you to read this with me. Verse 11 of Ezekiel 47. I think I gave that to you. If we don't have it, that's okay. But I'll go ahead and tell you what it says. In Ezekiel 47 verse 11, it talks about that those that do not receive it, that there will be miry places. They'll become marshes. They shall not be healed. They shall not be given salt because they rejected it. He said in verse 11, if you don't believe, and I'm not saying believe me, but I am saying believe what I'm preaching. He said, if you reject this, and if you reject the move of God I'm ready to give, he said, you'll dry up, you'll become a marsh, and you'll be sounding brass, and you'll be tinkling cymbal. But when you get to verse 12 of Ezekiel 47, he said, if you will receive that water, you'll have food, you'll have leaves, it will be year round, there will be revival, God will give it to you. I'm going to be blatantly honest. I'm going to talk from my heart. Brother Bernard, please tell me. You great men of God are standing with me. But you know, when I was a kid, just this high running around here, you young preachers think you had a battle. There was a battle that went on in the United Pentecostal Church like you've never seen. It was over the operation and a move of the Holy Ghost. and some districts were locked up. You couldn't get inside of them with a padlock if you believed in the gifts of the Spirit. But we just kept on preaching. And Billy Cole came along. And my daddy kept on coming along. And they kept on preaching, we can have revival. You can't talk in tongues and have interpretation. You can't have the fivefold ministry at work in your church. You can't have it. And now here I stand. I don't know of a district superintendent standing up here that doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, doesn't believe in a move of God, doesn't believe in God touching us. Let me tell you, that's what God's ready to give the United Pentecostal Church, is a revival of the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. Men, thank you for standing with me, but y'all been working all day. Y'all sit down. Man, you're great men. Thank you for standing with me. But I'll never forget, and I'm not on any of your district, and I'm not going to tell you which district it was, but I was 12 years old. My dad was preaching a camp meeting. My mother was yanking on an accordion. I was sitting there watching my mother sing. She was pulling that thing, and in that district, they began to shout, and the sawdust began to fly, and my dad walked to that pulpit and left his Bible there. He began to move in the Holy Ghost, and they started laying hands on the sick, and people started getting healed. When it was over, they called a district board meeting, and they called my dad in, and they said, we got something to say to you. He said, what's wrong? Said, you didn't preach tonight. And where we have camp meeting, we preach every night. Dad said, I'm so sorry. I'll try to preach two sermons tomorrow night. You let me tell you something. I love preaching. There's nothing like preaching. You've got to be saved by preaching. But I'm going to tell you, we can't just be letter. We got to have the Spirit of God operating in our churches. You may be seated. Younger guys, listen to me. Men, I'm not nearly about trying to say anything to you. Y'all are who I'm submitted to. But you younger guys, listen to me. I think you ought to try to get your doctorates. I think you ought to have your master's. I thank God for education, because in education is power. I thank God for Urshan Theological Seminary. I thank God for everything that everybody is learning. But you let me tell you something. Knowledge is not going to bring an apostolic revival. And I don't care how much knowledge you get, it is powerful, and I thank God for it. But if you've got knowledge without an altar, you don't have anything. This same man that I said crawled up on an altar and was crucified daily, Paul, who died daily. Let me tell you what Paul said in the Athens. That's where he went and thought he could philosophize. Well, let's get together. I'm degreed. I got all my degrees. So he sits down at Athens and he talks with them at Athens. Let me ask you a question. Why don't you find how many letters Paul wrote back to Athens? Why don't you find how many churches Paul established at Athens? When you get through with Athens, there's no church there. There's no letter written there. But you leave Athens and go to Corinth, where he said, I don't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I come to you in the demonstration and the power of the Holy Ghost. He left a church of 50,000 people, and he had to write two letters to them, because he said, no, I'm not coming to you with my philosophy. I'm not coming to you with what I learned. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Guys, I'm telling you, you younger men, hear me if I have anything to say to you. You better get an operation of the Spirit. I speak humbly to the men that I stand before tonight. If you'll ask my superintendent, I am submitted. I am submitted to our district board, my superintendent, my bishop, and I'm submitted to this general board. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter if you're an official. It doesn't matter if this body has elected you. It doesn't matter if your name is pastor or evangelist or teacher or saint or whoever. We better experience the sound of the depths of mighty waters. We better get that river that's flowing out from under that altar. It better become a conduit of a river that touches every district. for every district superintendent declares, I am tired of dead churches. I am tired of our churches not growing. I am tired of our districts not growing. It ought to be where Brother Bernard says, I am going to keep speaking. I am going to declare it every time I can. It ought to be where we pastors, we don't go to a church service unless they understand empty baptistries are running us nuts. Empty altars run me nuts. And I'm not going to stop until we've got that river of the Holy Ghost flowing in our congregation. I am not going to stop. Ezekiel 47, and I'm just about done, but Ezekiel 47 and 6, he said, Son of Man, Anthony Mangan, Bishop Bernard, Secretary Jones, Son of Man, hast, General Board, hast thou seen? In other words, he wasn't asking anybody else. He said, have you seen that river that is flowing out from under that altar? Do you know what it is doing? Do you know what can experience? Have you experienced this? Or have you only seen it and heard about it, but you just say, I believe it. I have come to this congregation tonight to tell you it is not just okay to say, I believe in end time revival. It's not just okay to say, I believe end time revival is coming. It's not okay to say we can double in a decade. It's not okay to just say, I believe we're going to have revival. It is imperative that everybody in this room build them a new altar. And we just don't believe it, but we get in that water and we start swimming. And everybody from the general board to the back row has that apostolic revival. God told Ezekiel, he said, get into it. I stand here to tell my Lord. I stand here to tell my family who knows on June the 17th, 2010, my whole life changed. I stand here to tell my great leaders. I stand here to tell this movement and all who are under the sound of my voice in this auditorium and those who have joined us by way of the web. I'm going to be in that number. I plan on being in that revival that cries, worthy is the Lamb. All of you who knew my father, a nonconformist, whose life was a life of prayer and the word and prayer. My dad's whole life was world missions vision. And when he passed, I'll never forget that night. My dad never went into unconsciousness. And about 8 o'clock, when we thought he was leaving, he was just really getting anointed. And he called my mother over. He said, I want to, his little mouth was sideways. He said, I want to pray a blessing on him. He took my mother and he put his hands on her head. And I said, Dad, while you have her, go ahead and cast the devil out and then put the blessing on her. Mother knows I always pick on her. I love her dearly. And I watched him bless my mother. And then he said, come here, Anthony. Come here. That big old hand popped down on my head. Mickey and Gentry and Jeff and Michael and my grandkids. Terry and Melanie. Kendra and Braden, come here. Pow. Brother and Sister Tenney, come here. Shook Brother Tenney and he prayed for Sister Tenney.
We'll have more of this great preaching as we continue this message in next week's broadcast. Until then, we pray God's blessings upon you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.